Oh, not someone, maybe many people on vacation. Right. So anyway, I have a message for you, and it's very important. I think it's possible that you can prepare, open your Bible, that we can have this get ready, that we can dig into the Word of God. I think this is very important and relevant into the end time. So I appreciate if you can have your Bible, get ready. Get your hand, start moving, and we can flip to the Word of God. All right? Okay, how is it? Try not to think about the heat. You know? Think about the blessing that you're about to receive. You know, sometimes we read the Bible as a great blessing in this, right? And let's focus on that. Now, I want to share with you, maybe disturbing to some of you, but I want you to pay attention to some of the important thing that I've been going through some of the lesson and study, and I think it's important, especially the end time. Some of you probably know this. I quote from this very important quote from the Great Controversy book, and that's where I derive the title of the message today, the Two Great Heirs. Before I do that, I just want to ask you this. And before I ask you, I'll tell you a story. You know, when I go to the store, and you're not allowed in the supermarket nowadays. What you see, what you get. But you go to the old place, they go to country, third world country. They display fruit and vegetable, right? And they say, oh, I want this, I want that. Okay, just a display. So I went this, I put in the back of the stuff that you point out, and you pay for the money, they give you the produce or whatever it is, you take home, you open, it's not exactly on the display. I have been deceived. Do you ever want to be deceived? Do you want me to share with you two great deceits that you hear today? Here it is. Great Controversy, page 588. Through the two great heirs. How many heirs? Two. It doesn't say three or five, it's two. And these are the two so important, the immortality of the soul and Sunday sacredness. Immortality of the soul and Sunday sacredness. Satan will bring the people under his deception. So Satan will deceive people with these two heirs. You don't have to go anywhere else. These are the two. Why the former lays the foundation of spiritualism. That's immortality. If you accept immortality of the soul, you lay the foundation of spiritualism. The later create the bond of sympathy with Rome. Let us pray. Dear Lord our God, we're about to look at these, some of the Bible texts and the history behind all this. Show us what are the two greatest heirs. How can we avoid this? Be with us right now, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, if someone says there's heir, are you going to listen to it? If there's someone deceive you, are you going to listen to it? Yeah. I want to know what's going on. I want to pay attention to what's happening. And so we live in the world today. There's so many things happening that we have to pay attention. Cultures and traditions are creeping into our faith. Everything's okay. Everyone have their own will. I like this. She like that. That's fine. We have to live. We have to share our space with the people in this world. And so as we start to accept and compromise, eventually some of the things that we are not paying attention are coming to our church. And so here it is. I want to address the first one first. Is the greatest heir that you just haven't seen it is the immortality of the soul. And this has laid the foundation of spiritualism. Now, I don't know about you, but I come from Vietnam. I experience a lot of spiritualism. I usually love to listen ghost story at the evening next to the cemetery. Can you imagine that? Let's get the heck out of any kid. And these kind of things, I start to grow up and start to believe in it. But when I come to this country, I open the Bible, I learn about it. There's something in the Bible say that's not true. Someone have deceived you all these years. And so I come to this country, I believe in it. There's no those thing here. There's no worship, sometimes spiritualism, all that for many years. And I start to see it's creeping into the United States. Especially when I come to California. I start to see different pose, different place, psychic reading, palm reader. People start worship, spiritual, and they start to come to the home of people to talk to the dead. Matter of fact, I met a lady here in the United States, in Rosemead. I visit her. And she's so poor that she couldn't even rent a room. She rented a bed. You know a bed? Some of you probably don't know that. Well, let me tell you. Some people say they rent a two-room apartment, and each room they build 8 bunk beds, 4 on this side, 4 on that side, and they rent each bed. Instead of rent a room, cost you $400 or $500, you rent a bed, cost you $100 a month. So anyway, she's that poor, but she talk to the dead. She invited me over, and I come over, and pretty spooky, very dirty. And she said, "You want to know your future? Come, I'll let you know." And when I started getting to that, I started run off. It's not for me. So it's happening here. It's happening here. Can you believe it? Today, many young Christian men converted to Buddhism. I went to the airport, LAX. I see a white young male dressed like a monk to ask for money. How could that happen? And so spiritualism has come to this country little by little. So you and I might not know. Here it is. I want to share with you some of the Bible texts. And so let us understand what the Bible is teaching about this. All right, let's open the Bible. We look some of the text right here. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 with me. I want to see what the Bible says. And please help open the Bible. And those who have it, I want you to read. I want not only reading for you, but I want you to read for yourself to see what the Bible tried to teach us. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And verse 5 and 6 here. The Bible say very clearly, and once I define this, and I want to share you the history behind it, why it's different from now. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So what the first 5 say? If you are alive, you know you will die, but the dead know nothing. How much is nothing? Nothing. You don't know anything. But today people say, oh, when you die, you have the spirit. You know something. That's my talk of the dead. The dead is still alive. Okay? Now, I don't have time to share 2 great areas with you in 30 minutes, so I'm going to briefly cover a few places to let you know. Now, if the Bible, you think, they teach about the dead still alive afterward, we need to really study detail, okay? And maybe I want to share with you some of the things maybe before I get into this. Do you know that all the Christendom believe that when a person die, 3 places they can go? You know where it is? Either what? Go to heaven? Number 2, hell, and another one is purgatory. Okay? Now, that's purgatory. That's an idea from Roman Catholic Church. But most Christians do believe you go to heaven or hell after you die. Now, do you think other religion believe similar? Yes. I come from a Buddhist background. When you die, what happened? You reincarnate to another being. If you're good, you stay in human. If you're better, you go to heaven. If you're not, you turn to a cow. And so you better watch out. Don't eat bad beef because you might eat someone. That's what they believe. And so the similar, all the things similar, that there's no such thing as when you die is dead, they know nothing. You go somewhere. And so now the question is, why is in the Christian church? Okay? Now I'm leading you to back to the Bible. Now people say, well, the Bible teaches something of that. Well, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. People know King David very well. And David is really close with the Lord. And people know for sure that David would be saved, right? David would be saved. He repent, and God loved him and called him as a friend. Okay, David chapter 2. Now, after Peter is preaching, okay, and he says something about this David here, okay, about the King David. So, we look at chapter 2, verse 29. I'm going to jump a few verses to let you know about David. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you about the patriot David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Okay, everyone accept that. So he's dead and he's buried. Where's he now? Under the ground. He's dead and buried. Well, you know, maybe the body underground, but his soul maybe go to heaven. Could it be true? Well, let's ask another question with Peter. Peter, can you explain a little bit more about this? Verse 34, for David did not ascend into heaven. Is David in heaven? No. Peter claimed that David died 1,000 years ago. Is not going to heaven. So where is this in the Bible mentioned about this? I want to share with you some of the history behind this. Because it's not in the church. It's not starting in the church. It starts somewhere else. And it's so important you and I need to pay attention to some of the issues happening. It begins with the pagan. Okay? The pagan world believed in this. What happened? Now it is. It starts with the Greek philosophers. Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. They thought about this idea. They thought about soul and body. They discuss about it, and they think soul must be continually forever. And maybe the body is a place that's locked the soul in, and now the body is dying, releasing that. So this is the philosophy going on. Now, they wrote many books about it, and the Christian church started within the Greek philosophy. As years go by, it started leaking to the church. And I tell how it's leaking here. Origen, he lived in 185 to 254 after Christ. He's called father of our faith. That's with the Catholic. And he really liked the idea of Plato, that the soul is a spirit, will never die. And he started to accept those things, and he started believing it, and he started teaching. Later come along, Augustine, you know the Lord Augustine, the father of the faith, lived in 354, 430. And he took on what Origen started, and he said, soul is never die. And death is a blessing so that the soul can be released. No more pain. Okay? Thomas Aquinas. How many people know Thomas Aquinas? One of the great writers of the Christian church. Lived in 1225 to 1274. He took on some of the early writing of Augustine, and he's teaching that the soul never die and never destroy. Now I have to say this to you. This is really contrary to the Bible. Okay? The Bible says something the soul, well, let me not saying, but I let you read from the Bible. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 4. Please, you got to read the Bible on this one, because I'm telling you, two greatest air leak into the whole Christendom, and that's clearing you and I at the end time. Ezekiel chapter 18 verse 4. The very ending of verse 4 says, the soul who sinned shall what? Shall die. The soul who sinned shall die. So the Bible clearly to say, the soul who sins shall die. Verse 20, the soul who sins shall die. Same chapter, two things in there. And here it is. Leaders and theologian of the early Christendom say that the souls never die. Now, not surprising to you and I, so many Christians start to follow that practice and try to use different methods in the Bible to say that the soul not die. I'll continue with the history. How is this coming? The Roman Catholic Church, they came together in 1513 on the Fifth Council of Lateran, and this is what he say. The council do condemn and reprobate all those who assert that the intellectual soul is mortal. According to the canon of the Pope Clement V, that the soul is immortal, and we are decree that all who adhere to like erroneous assertion shall be shunned and punished as heretic. If you believe that the soul is mortal, you're a heretic. You have to follow the doctrine of the church. And this decree says, I can come to take your possession. And that's not sin. I can kill you, not sin, because you're a heretic. You know, that's how you define. If a heretic, you can sin and you can take that people's possession. And so when the council in 1813 came out like that, this is scary. I want to read another text here. The glossary in the back of the U.S. Version of the Catholicism of the Catholic Church defines soul as follows. The spiritual principle of human being, this is what a soul is. The soul is the subject of human consciousness and freedom. Soul and body together form a unique human nature. No problem with that so far, right? Each human soul is individual and immortal, immediately created by God. You see, God created this. The soul does not die with the body, from which it is separated by death, and with which it will be reunited in the final resurrection. Is it biblical? Where does it come from? We know it comes from Greek philosophy. Theologians started to encapsulate that into the church. Now define clearly, everyone have to follow. Now where the deceit come from? Now I want to share with you here, this come from no one else but Satan. Do you know Satan is in the Garden of Eden? And that's the first temptation. Before the Greek philosopher. Go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, when God created everything's beautiful, and he made everything's perfect, and he created the tree of knowledge, good and evil. Chapter 2, verse 17. But he said this, what does God say? You shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall what? You shall what? Surely die. God have defined clearly, once you eat, you surely died. Now, whatever God said, who is going counter with God? Huh? Satan. Whatever God come out, Satan always bring a counterfeit. Everything. Everything. And here it is, chapter 3. Verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which is the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat every tree in the garden? Is that question correct or incorrect? It's incorrect. Satan said this. The serpent said, you shall not eat of any tree. No tree, period. He says, try to watch out. When you read the text and you read someone try to deceive you, you can pay attention to every single word detail. Okay? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor you touch it, lest you die. Did the serpent know about it? Did the serpent know what God's teaching to Adam and Eve? Yes or no? Yes. So what he said now? The person said, for God know in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, know good and evil. That means what? Once you eat it, you're not going to die. In summary, once you eat it, you're not going to die. When God say, once you die, the breath of God go back to heaven, and the body turned to dust. And the devil come along, no. The body may go to dust, but your soul go to heaven. Okay, the message has come across to the whole human race that you live after you die. And so the thought of that, as we talked about the two graded heirs, what is that leading to? That leading to spiritualism. Okay, what is the devil trying to do at the end time? Go with me in the book of Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. We should commit this verse in memory. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. Who is this? Who is this here? Who is talking about? Revelation chapter 12. Verse 9, chapter 12, very important chapter for us, you and I, to understand about the end time. Verse 9 says this, 12 verse 9, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Who the serpent of old? He in the Eden, right? And say, he cast out the earth, what? And deceived the whole world. Are you part of this world? Is Satan trying to deceive you? Yes. Now, what is the blessing? I mean, what is the advantage for the devil try to show you that once you die, the soul is still alive? What's the advantage? That you and I start to do what? To worship the dead. Right? Because somehow, the idea of spiritualism, the dead know more than you. If you and I live this world, we limit in space and time. The dead is not limited in space and time. And so when we thought about the dead know more than us, guess what we can do? We're going to pray to the dead. We're going to pray to the dead. And we can be fearful to those who are come to haunt us. I run the air when someone hunt you? That's why you're going to run. That's your name is run, right? You run for your life. I'm telling you, this spiritualism, the immortality of the soul, we might think is a beautiful thing, that God, oh, take us, go home, this wonderful thing, but it's not true. That leading to the foundation of spiritualism, that we start to pray to the dead, and when we pray to the dead, and when we pray and worship and talk to the dead, who actually are we talking to? Who did I talk to? We talked to the devil. And if the dead say, you know what? You go here and there and you will find gold. And guess what? The devil will trick you to go there and he will kill you. Now, this is a true story. That's one of the bishop heard about at night that he was prayed to the dead. They said, you know, you go to the desert and I meet you there and I will bring a blessing to you. He went to the desert. We never see him come back. People look for him. He died in the desert. I'll quote you a quick story here. Another story in the New York Times. Okay? Pretty little story back here, like 30 or 40 years ago. This happened in the time of Vietnam's war. Okay? There's a mother who have her child in Vietnam War, and he lost. People could find out, and he thought about his platoon probably got ambushed, and somehow no one alive. Anyway, she received a notice that your son is already dead. Oh, she's so sad about it. And she started to talk with her friend, you know, I couldn't live with my son. Anyway, she go visit a friend, another friend, and the friend introduced to her and said, you know what, you want to talk with your son? I said, yeah, I want to talk with my son. Well, every Tuesday night you come to my house, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to show you how to talk to your son. Yes, indeed, that Tuesday night she came to her friend's house, and people sit around the table, and they start to do all those kind of spiritual thing and talk to the dead. And behold, his son starts to come down. He said, son, that's you. Is that you? Yeah, mom, that's me. And son and mom start talking, and they start to share some of the secret no one know about it. Every single Tuesday night, she went to her friend's house to talk with her son. One day on Monday, she cooked food at home, prepared to bring food for her son. And thinking about the soul probably can eat the food. Well, as she preparing the food, she heard the knock on the door and say, wait a minute, who's down the door? Oh, say, I want to come in. Mom, I want to come in. He said, what? Who's mom? I have no son. He's dead in Vietnam. Well, as she opened the door, he saw that some young man looked like her son. He said, who are you? And the young man said, mom, don't you recognize me? He said, no. You were supposed to die in Vietnam. I said, no. They thought I was dead. I was escaped. And now I'm alive. Mom, I come home. I said, are you really my son? Yes. Now, if you my son, who do I talk with every Tuesday night? And this is a true story on New York Times. Immortality of the soul, it lay in the foundation of spiritualism. And we live in the United States, we are about to reap so many things in spiritualism. As United States opened the door for immigrants and refugees, wonderful as it is, but they bring their religion with them. And they suck in your children with them. Well, I love people. But if a culture or a pagan, I don't want to accept it in my country or my home. And so this is two great heirs that N.G. White had mentioned at the end time. You know what other heirs? And I don't have time to go every single point in here. But the blessing that God wants us to know when he comes back, he wants to take us home all together, not go first. People think, well, if the idea that once you die, go to heaven, now, that's a good idea. Why do you want to cast that idea down? Now, I don't think that idea is good. Is it thing is good? Well, people think it's good. If I'm asleep at home and I think that my son or my forefather already go to heaven, must be feel good. But I'm telling you, it's not. I give you a quick example. Okay? Quick example. Let's say we in the war zone. Okay? And I was drafted to war. And my forefather somehow went to heaven. Okay? And I'm in the war. And I'm fighting with the enemy. And the enemy hide behind me about to shoot me. What do you think my forefather in heaven would do? Cried out, son, turn around. Can you hear me? Turn around. Someone will kill you. You think that's happy in heaven? What about husband and wife? One happens go to heaven, a wife on this earth, and someone want to come to, you know, mingle with your wife. You feel happy about it? Those married are not happy. I said, I'm telling you, do not touch her. I'm going to kill you. But you cannot kill. You're a ghost. You cannot kill him. You understand? Those ideas have been coming out. Let me tell you, it's dangerous. So do nothing our way. Our theology is correct or even better than God's theology. No, God said he will come down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16, 17. When he will come down, he will awake those who are asleep in Christ first. Those who are righteousness will caught up together with those who are dead years ago, go up in heaven together. That is a perfect plan of God. Point number two. It took a long time for point number two. I want to share with you quick things. You guys have time for it? The sacred air. Sacred air is very important. The sacred air that I'm just going to read about this text again. Sacred air, what does it say? The sacred air, talking about the Sunday sacredness, is what? Is lay the foundation that bond between the people sympathized with Rome. Okay? Oh, Sunday, God, Jesus Christ resurrected on Sunday. We worship on Sunday. What's wrong with that? Why you make it so big deal about that? Well, I want to share with you something important. Whatever God created, whatever God say, Satan always go counterfeit, right? So, in the Garden of Eden, once you eat the fruit, you die. Satan go out counterfeit. Also, in Garden of Eden, God create the rest day. Read with me in the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 and 3. 1 to 3. Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Thus the heaven and earth and all the hosts of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Verse 3. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because it is he rested from all the work which God has created and made. And so the Sabbath was created for man. You can look in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, 28. And here it is. God created the Sabbath to rest, to be blessed, and he sanctified it. Can we sanctify it? Can we sanctify Sunday become a holy day? No. Can we sanctify Wednesday, we come together and we'll read the Bible and sing him, become a holy day? No. Only God can make a day holy. Now, do you think the devil like that? Yes or no? No, he don't like it. I don't like. Whatever Jesus say, whatever God say, he's going to go counterfeit. If he hate every single one of the God's commandments. You think he only hate God's commandment, only fourth commandment? Or he can hate all four or ten commandments? All ten. All ten. Well, the one you keep, he's not going to disturb you in that, you know. But the one you don't keep, he will disturb you with it. And so he's going to find out that try to straight things out. So let me go on you about this. The Sabbath is so important that God tried to see this thing with, are you with me or you are with someone else? So the big Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12 and verse 20, okay? Here's what the Sabbath is all about. The Sabbath is very meaning about this. They see Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12. Moreover, I give them my Sabbath to be a sign between them and me. The Sabbath is what? It's a sign. It's a signal. It's something is between you and I. Between God and us. Okay, verse 20. Say, hallow my Sabbath, for they will be the sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Now, why? When God created the sign, the devil go around and say, you know what? I'll make a counterfeit sign. A counterfeit sign. So the whole world of deceive, they might not know. Now, how do you know which a sign is at end time? Let me share with you here. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to 3. I mean, Revelation chapter 7, yeah. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 to 3. Now, before he's come back to take us home, he got to know who is belong to him. Right? If I go to pick up some children, especially my children, at the beach, I got to know who are they. I might pick up the wrong one. I mean, it might look like it, because everyone's Asian on the beach here, and so it might look the wrong one. I got to know who it is. Okay? And here it is. The Bible says, who it belongs to the Lord. So, Revelation chapter 7, 1 to 3. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corner of the earth. What mean four corner of the earth? North, south, east, west, right? The angels cover all that. Four corner of the earth, holding the four winds, which is strife and war, and then mother's nature is hitting this earth. That the wind shall not blow on the earth, on the sea, or any tree. And I saw an angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom they are granted to harm the earth and the sea. Verse 3, say, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the tree, till we have sealed the servant our God on the forehead. Where? Forehead. There's a seal. There's a sign that seal on God's forehead. Why? Why is forehead? Why is in the body? You know, I live near to the tree, my cow's farm. I live near the cow farm. I drove by all the time, you know. And surprisingly, I see some of the cow. I see there's a mark on the cow, especially on the left thigh. Okay? The word D, sometimes a T or W. You know what it is, right? The initial of the owner. You know, my name, last name is Nguyen. N. If I have a cow, I stamp that N on the cow. That is mine. You cannot take it. And so God will put a seal on our forehead. And what that seal is to indicate you are mine. What is the sign between you and I? It's a Sabbath. So you and I keep the Sabbath. That means you are mine. And if you don't want it, you are not mine. So what is what's Satan's seal? Well, go with me. Book of Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13, we see clearly, verse 17 and 18. And now the angels came out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat in the crown, thirst to your sick, go and reap, the time has come. I'm sorry, I'm going to 14. Let me go back to 13. The 13 have two beasts. The first beast and second beast. Okay? Now the second beast telling clearly what happening at the end time. Verse 15. He has grand power, giving breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. That means if you don't worship the image of the beast, you'll be killed. What is the image of the beast? Verse 16. He should cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark on the right hand or on the forehead. What? Forehead? Same thing, Revelation chapter 7. And so, either you worship God the Sabbath or the beast. What is on the beast? Now, I'm going to read a few more and I'll try to explain you here. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast on the number of or the number of his name. That means if you don't have the mark of the beast, you ain't gonna buy and sell. Matter of fact, if you read earlier, if you don't have the mark of the beast, you're gonna die. You're persecuted. Right? Is that what the Bible says? If you don't have the mark of the beast, you're persecuted by this power. Now what does that mean? What is that mark? Now, if you have that mark, I'm trying to help you understand this here. People say, you know what? What wrong we have that mark of the beast if I can buy and sell? I don't want to die. Well, I want to read you verse 14, and you tell me what does it mean to you. Chapter 14, talking about the third angel. Okay, verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worship the beast and his image and receive his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. In summary, the third angel say that if you have the mark of the beast, you're going to die. Right? You got lost? Chapter 13. If you don't have the mark of the beast, you die. Chapter 14. If you have the mark of the beast, you die. Which one are you going to take? Chapter 13. If you don't have the mark of the beast, right? If you don't have the mark of the beast, if you don't have the mark of the beast, you will die because you cannot buy and sell. I'm going to kill you. But 14, God say, if you have it, you're going to die. So which one are you going to take? I'm going to tell you which you're going to take here. There's a solution. Okay? Go with me in the Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Before we go in that, I think I'm assuming that you already know. Because I'm going to conclude this very quick here. Once I turn this, I'm going to leave it here for a little bit. Then I explain you what the mark of the beast. What the mark of the beast, by the way? Is it 666? Who people say mark of the beast 666? Who, you don't know? Then what the mark of the beast? The mark of the beast is not 666. The beast is 666. But not the mark of the beast. Okay? The mark, the beast, is who you worship. Okay? If God says Sabbath, the day you worship, and the whole world worship on what day? Sunday. That is the mark of the beast. The church and the pagan religion have changed the day. You know, sometimes people think I say negative of the church. The church changed the day, but to be more correct, the pagan changed the day. Remember, the people come to the temple, worship God, and they turn around and worship the sun. Right? So they go opposite, either to God or the sun. What day most Christians worship today? Sunday is the sun. And they call it the sunrise service. You know who sunrise service? The son of Nimrod is Sunday. Sunrise, S-O-N, is not actually son of God. And so see, the devil used a pagan religion bring into the church as counterfeit. And so now, to summarize in this text here, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and hell. Both body and soul. So basically, you fear those only kill the body but not the soul. Let me take it back. Do not fear those only kill body and not the soul, right? But kill him that can kill both body and soul. Now let me ask you: can the devil kill the body and soul? Yes or no? No, he cannot take the soul. Can God kill both body and soul? Yes or no? So which one are you going to follow? Follow Satan or follow God? You see, what does death mean? Death is just only asleep. What does sleep mean? I'm going to wake up. Right? So this death, that's why so many people willing to sacrifice their faith, die for their faith, because they know it's just sleep. If you're reading the story of Stephen's persecution, he died. But the Bible says sleep. And so I rather follow someone, allow me to sleep, than live forever. Okay? Then someone cannot help me at all. So which one do you choose? I rather not receive the mark of the beast than receive the mark of the beast. You understand? That's how you answer this question. Some of you probably wondering what's Pastor Vin trying to say all this. But let me summarize here. It's two great deceptions, the end time. And that's involved you and I. Believe or not, involve you and I. We need to make a decision now, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I will not worship the idol or the image that King Nebuchadnezzar erect. I will not worship what the devil is doing. The two great errors. It's what? Immortality of the soul. We're not going to believe in that. And also the sacredness of Sunday. Because at the end time, the devil will deceive us. The whole world will follow that. Though no one follow us, we will still follow Jesus. Though no one go with us, we will follow Jesus. Though no one will stand with us, we will stand for Jesus. Would you do that for Jesus? God revealed this beautiful truth to us. It is not to scare us, but help us understand the prophecies about to happen will not caught you by surprise when the time has come. You and I need to be diligent to study the Word of God and stand for our faith. Because the end time is more tough than it is. I pray that each one of you study for yourself. And please take this serious. Once I find this truth, I share with you. I pray that you continue to study this message. Let us pray. Dear Lord our God, the two greatest errors, not just happened now, but it's happened since the beginning of time. You have noticed the beginning of time, and you review this into the Word of God for us. Lord, help us to grasp this, understand this, and take hold of this. You promise us you will be with us always. Whatever might come, you will stand with us. Thank you, God. Bless every single man and woman today as we hear this word. Help us not to take this lightly, but take serious. Those of you that we may not fall into Satan's trap. Be with each one of us. Bless us. And I pray that you write our name in the book of life. Then when you come back, you might find us be righteous, that you can take us home. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.